The Road to Oblivion, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction, written and read by Tasmi. Rating, teen. Relationship is ambiguous. It can be read as Rodney slash John or Rodney and John. Other tags include emotional hurt comfort, angst, season 4 but with Carson, Jen or pre-slash, and episode related. Summary. Rodney is the destroyer of worlds, though he thinks that name is already taken. Maybe it's not strong enough anyway. Rodney reflects on the consequences of changing the replicator code in Lifeline. This is AU in that I decided Carson is there for season 4. It can be read as pre-slash or friendship. Rodney is so done with Radek telling him to go to sleep. It's been, what, 30 hours now? That's not too bad. He did more during the siege with Carson's stimulants. But he doesn't have stimulants now, and it's not technically a crisis, or at least not a crisis that's going to be solved in 30 hours or even 100 hours. Hell, it might never be solved. And it's all his fault. Always his fault. When will he learn to stop enacting brilliant plans and using his genius to solve one problem, only to cause another one that's monumentally worse? So immense now that he's been up for 30 hours? Or has it been 35? He's not sure. Doctors in emergency rooms have been known to do more. Clearly he can keep going. What's the problem? No big deal, right? He tells Zelenka as much, but Zelenka doesn't look convinced as he walks away, shaking his head, throwing his hands in the air in exasperation and worry and concern, none of which Rodney needs. Save the worry for the dead. Rodney needs to work. He has to solve this, because he's the only one who can with his ginormous brain. Unfortunately, that brain is somehow proving to be more trouble than it's worth, because it's his genius that caused this horror in the first place. When they first got word from Todd that entire worlds were falling to the replicators, Rodney felt the intense guilt roil within his gut. But even then, he didn't understand just how bad it was, how colossally stupid changing the replicator code had been. So how can he possibly sleep when it's all his fault? When somewhere children and mothers and fathers and people, real damn people, are all dying because of him. God, is he worse than Oppenheimer? But that's a stupid question, because obviously a hell of a lot more people will die because of him. Whole cultures, whole civilizations, whole worlds. He is the destroyer of worlds. Though he thinks that name is already taken, maybe it's not strong enough anyway. He needs to fix this. He needs to save as many lives as he possibly can. Every hour he sleeps is another hour in which people will die. Even though it's a discrete function and not continuous, they don't wipe people out constantly. They kill thousands all at once. There one moment, gone the next. Then there's no loss for a while, and there's time to evacuate and work to fix the problem before the Asurans attack again. Now John's bothering him, probably called in by Radek, but Rodney doesn't have time to talk or negotiate. He needs to work. He snaps at John, telling him to back off and leave him alone. But John isn't leaving. He's just sitting there, looking concerned, despite trying to hide his emotions. His haunted hazel eyes never lie, though, betraying all the feelings that John haphazardly stuffs inside and hides away. Rodney tries to dig himself deeper into his work and away from that worried gaze, but John is still staring, talking nonchalantly about Star Trek and the Prime Directive and why that didn't really work either. But Rodney knows he's just trying to distract him long enough that he loses his focus and finally agrees to sleep. Rodney will not be easily swayed. He's not sure when John leaves. He takes a minute to breathe in the silence and refocus. He can do this. Then he curses himself for taking that minute. It's been hours and hours and days and days, and he slept a bit at first, but now he understands there is no time for that. No time at all. Another second? Another life? His subconscious completes the calculations over and over, updating the data. 11,000 people on Havera, 35,000 on Aspara, and another 40,000 on Adonis. All of that in 3 weeks, which means 28,667 lives per week, 4,095 lives per Earth day, 171 lives per hour, 3 lives per minute. Even the time it takes to sip his coffee is too much, too many seconds, too many lives. He feels 2 fingers press against his wrist. Ronnie yanks his hand away and glares, but Carson is not cowed. When did Carson get there anyway? Ronnie says, "Go away," in the acerbic and forceful manner only he can muster. But Carson just shakes his head sadly. Tisk, tisk, tisk. He gently takes hold of Ronnie's wrist again and checks his pulse. Not that Ronnie needs a doctor any more than he needs sleep. He needs to work. Carson doesn't even bother threatening Rodney with the infirmary if he won't go to his quarters, which would have made more sense. Instead, he's calling John into the room to help escort Rodney straight to a hospital bed where he won't be able to work and they'll make him sleep? Hell no! Rodney glares his best angry glare. How dare you call Carson? I'm not sick! He says the words silently, but John hears them all the same, just as he always does. Aloud, he says he'll go to his quarters and take a rest on his own, knowing it's a lie, because there is no time. No time. No time. John pushes down the lid of Rodney's laptop, closing it while Rodney is still trying to type. He pulls the computer away, stowing it somewhere nearby. When Carson tugs on his left arm, while John tugs on the right, and they lead him away, mumbling about 48 hours working with no stop, and how his body can't take that. No one's can. They're wrong, of course. Rodney can definitely work longer if they would just let him. But now he's standing in scrubs in the infirmary against his will, and it's not fair, but Carson says his blood pressure is dangerously high and his pulse is too rapid and his body is begging for the rest that Ronnie just won't give it. He hands Ronnie a pill and watches as Ronnie just holds it in his palm, feeling the crushing weight of 100 falling worlds. He can't take this. He needs to work. Don't they understand? Carson is still watching him expectantly, and John is there coaxing him to just take the damn pill already. But Ronnie's tired, and he doesn't want to lose precious time. Carson's going on again about his vitals and how he can't allow Ronnie to continue like this. If he won't take the pill, he'll sedate him properly. He holds up the syringe for emphasis. Lovely. Can he even do that? Aren't there rules and stuff Carson has to follow? Carson says he'll do what he has to do and to stop acting like a bloody fool. Don't they understand how many lives are on the line? How can he rest? He is Sisyphus, and this is his rock that he'll forever be pushing up an impossibly steep hill. Ronnie doesn't buy into hell, but somehow he lives there anyway and might never escape. Don tells him Sisyphus had to push the rock alone. Ronnie's not alone, and they'll pull through this together. Which is all well and fine, but it's Rodney's brain that'll do the heavy lifting. Oh shit. What if he can't solve this? At a rate of 28,667 lives per week, the entire galaxy would be overcome in 313 weeks, or 26 months. Then what? What if the Asurans don't stop? What if they make their way to the Milky Way galaxy next? How many lives is that? How much time? They'd wipe people out faster with life concentrated on one planet, Earth. Billions of lives in one go without having to go planet to planet. How long? A year? A week? A day? It's anyone's guess, really. He doesn't know. He doesn't want to do the calculations anymore. The numbers terrify him. Shit, shit, shit. Jeannie, Maddie, Sam, everyone else, all dead because of him. It's just a matter of time before they all fall to replicators because he was so stupid, stupid, stupid as to change the base code. He really should know better by now. John's ordering him to take the stupid pill as if Rodney answers to him off the field. Ha! John and Carson can take their sleeping pills and their concern and shove it up their asses for all he cares. He needs to work. If they can't see that, then screw them. Storming off fails because John grabs Rodney's arm, keeping him in place with a firm hold. He tries to pull away. John's grip tightens. He can only feel panic, 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 and all the lies slipping through his fingers and John's grasp tightening, keeping him trapped. He's not backing down, and Rodney has no choice. His free arm acts on its own, really, swinging his fist into the air without conscious thought. It's all for nothing, though, because John is military, and he's not so easily taken by surprise. Now Rodney's arm is twisted behind his back, and it hurts, but not as much as he should hurt for all the pain and death he's caused. He flinches slightly when the needle pokes into his deltoid, which means it's too late. He's going to succumb to sleep, whether he wants to or not. Damn them! Why are they interfering? John says Rodney's not thinking straight. Silently, he says, "Really?" in the most incredulous voice Rodney has ever heard. And yes, he realizes you can't technically hear silence, but Rodney can when it comes to John. John releases his twisted arm, but keeps hold of the other bicep. Rodney's legs melt toward the floor as John's grip steadies him. The pill is wedged between Carson's shoe and the gurney wheel, discarded in the scuffle. John settles him into the nearest cot, saying something about how Rodney will feel better after a little rest. He chokes on the words, though, clearly unsettled and unable to hide his raw emotions. Serves him right. Rodney's thoughts are slowing, becoming confusing, like thick, viscous liquid drowning out all coherence. Unfortunately, Rodney can still think about death, death. He barely registers the sting as an IV is pushed into his forearm. He vaguely notices Carson hanging a bag of saline on the nearby hook. Carson's hand falls lightly on his shoulder, and it feels warm and kind, and he thinks maybe he'll forgive Carson for sedating him. Maybe. Carson says to rest, and for a moment, just a moment, Rodney thinks maybe that's a good idea after all. He closes his eyes, but that's a big mistake. He sees the soon-to-be-dead villagers crying, pleading with him to help. He needs to halt this horror show of death and death and more death. His eyes dart open, and he watches the saline drip into the IV line and thinks of how each second is another person dying. Drip, drip, drip. Death. More death. So much death. John takes the seat by his bed, propping his legs up on the empty cot and crossing his arms over his chest. He starts to say something about how this isn't Rodney's fault. John gave the order after all. Rodney calls bullshit because he's the one who came up with the plan and he's the one who changed the code. John tries to argue, but Rodney tunes him out. So John sits in silence, reaching for his hand and lacing their fingers together. Rodney's not sure what to make of them holding hands because he's sure John doesn't do touch. Despite the cotton ball-laden thoughts, Rodney feels embarrassed about the fact John's hand is so warm and nice wrapped around his own. He's also embarrassed about the whole trying to punch John thing, but at least John isn't holding that against him. He's just there, waiting, comforting. A constant light in the darkness. And the darkness really is so immense that Rodney can't face it alone. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. John answers that he'll always be there, and it'll be okay. Well, maybe not okay, but they'll face it together all the same. As Ronnie feels sleep taking over, he wonders if this colossal boulder will ever move. If he succeeds in rolling it up the hill, will it just be replaced by another, more gigantic one of his own making? How many deaths will it take before he can end this? How many worlds will fall and how many people will have to die because of him? It's not the road to hell that's paved with his good intentions, after all, but the road to oblivion. He is the destroyer of universes. The end.